Financial wellness is brought to you by Investec Personal Cash Investments. In Out of the Ordinary times, partner with Out of the Ordinary.
Upfront with Rufiro Moloto, only on Cape Talk.
All right, so have you heard of or used the online shopping service Runway Sale? They've been around for about 7 years now, so if you haven't, you've been living under a rock. And they keep going from strength to strength. Runway Sale is an exclusive, free, members-only online shopping society that provides access to designer brands at affordable prices, just what we need in this particular economy. Co-founder and CEO of Runway Sale, Carl Hammerschmidt, is in studio with us today to chat to us about the business. How are you, Carl?
Very good, thank you. Thank you for having me on today.
Thank you for making the time to come into the studio. I know you're very busy. Tell me, how in a country that has almost less than 1% of its retail on online did you stumble upon what turned out to be a highly successful business?
So my wife and I actually founded the business about 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. And at the time we were living in Australia, mm-hmm. wanting to come back to South Africa for a variety of reasons, and basically looked around the world and said what businesses seemed to be doing well and could potentially do well in South Africa. And so we decided that e-commerce, while very small, is inevitably going to grow,
right,
or we would be one of the first developed countries or semi-developed countries in the world for it not to happen to. So while it might be tough in the early years, mm-hmm. Ultimately the long-term reward would be there. So that's how we got started.
Okay, and then, so first of all, okay, Runway Sale, I quite like the name. It's mm-hmm. it's better than Guilt Group, which is the American version, I suppose, of what you do.
Sure.
How was it, or what do you have to do to convince brands, or how does it work that you get the discounted prices, if I may ask for your secret sauce?
Yeah, no, we're fairly open about this. We partner with brands, retailers, wholesalers, importers, and less so now, but very much so in the beginning, worked exclusively with their slow-moving stock. So the stock mm-hmm. might be about 3 months old.
Mm-hmm.
Our opinion is our customers are more value-focused than necessarily mind having an item 3 months earlier in the season.
Right.
So because we are able to offer it slightly later, that comes with the benefit of being able to offer it at a substantial discount. In the beginning, very difficult to get brands to buy into it, and we were very lucky that there were a few brands that believed in us early on.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of spirals and becomes a halo effect, and as you build up a portfolio, I suppose more and more brands see it working and word kind of gets out in what is a very small industry.
Sure.
And so yes, the last few years have definitely been very different from the first few years in terms of getting partners on board. Usually the phone calls go the other way now.
I'm with you. Okay. Yeah. So as you said, was it difficult 7 years ago, 2012? Actually not bad from an economic perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a bit more share of pocket. So interesting that it's doing better for you as we actually grow slower as a country.
Sure. So look, I mean, there's a huger part of the economy that's affected by the downturn, right? So I don't say this lightly, but for us, with e-commerce growing at the rate that it's growing, it's obviously hasn't affected us as much.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, because we're focusing on the value segment of the market, to some extent, we're a bit counter to the economic trends, similar to an Access Park or something like that. So we're sitting in a relatively strong place at the moment.
That's fantastic. And of course, what ends up happening is that people do trade down as well. So if you're a little bit more wealthy and you were happy during an economic upturn to spend the full price on something, you still want the thing, but you're happy to pay. About how deep does a discount get?
So it does vary. Typically, we exist in about the 40 to 50% off price,
mm-hmm.
Which for, you know, completely authentic goods, the exact same item, is a pretty good discount when you look at it and you've got to count up your cash at the end of the day. Sometimes less, sometimes more, but I'd say that's the average band.
Is there a big competitive space here in South Africa?
Are you saying, do we have competitors to us? So, not really. I mean, when we started,
amongst the internationals, for example, Net-a-Porter.
100%. Yeah. So our biggest competitors would be international sites shipping into South Africa, which is still a relatively small portion, but that's definitely where our main focus is.
Mm-hmm.
The offline environment, you know, as you said at the beginning of your show, it's less than 1% or maybe 1% within the fashion industry. So you've still got a very big kind of older, more established business to compete with there. No, there's not really any direct competitors to us. There are two other fashion players in the space, Zando and Superblist. There used to be Spree's, obviously, shuttered their doors or emerged into Superblist.
Mm.
But they do sit in quite a different segment of the market to us. So
yes.
We actually work sometimes with them to help clear some of their excess stock as well.
Yes, because you are quite focused on the branded stuff, which I don't think they necessarily provide as much.
Sure. They've got different positioning in the market, and they seem to be happy with that space.
Now, I mean, if Amazon has taught us anything, I mean, I am saying the 1%, and I think your point around the convergence of the South African economy is important. Mm. If Amazon has taught us anything, you know, the shutdown of Toys R Us, how many retailers in the US and the UK are shutting down, having to close their doors? Eventually, we're going to end up there, I imagine, over time. The big challenge, even when Amazon first tried to come to South Africa, that always comes to mind for me is actually the logistics of postage.
Sure.
What do you do?
So I must be honest, you know, there are often three things cited as the main reasons why online hasn't taken off. It's the logistics, it's the online penetration,
mm-hmm.
and it's the payment methods. And genuinely, those three aren't major concerns for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the postage service, admittedly, the post office, I think it would take a hell of a lot for us to try and give them any of our parcels again.
Sure.
The payment, you know, between EFT, instant EFT, even just going to a bank, the number of people who shop online with us, but then go to a bank and deposit cash and send us the deposit slip.
That's hilarious.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
So they're comfortable shopping online, but they're not comfortable trading online. So
online banking,
100%. And in terms of the penetration, we've got more phones in this country than we've got people, right? And so those three really aren't contributing factors. It's really just about adoption.
Mm.
That's the biggest hurdle. And that's encouraging for us, because I think that's also the easiest one to overcome, even though it might take a bit of time. So I think that we will see whether we get, you know, in the UK, fashion sales, I think it's about 30 or 35% of total sales happen online.
Mm.
So whether we get there or not is to some extent irrelevant.
Right.
But we're going to get to 10% at the very least.
At the very least. I can imagine that. Jean, our darling Jean, who's left us at Cape Talk, but our darling survivor, Jean, says he has all my money. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Everyone was mentioning it outside. We're very grateful for the support and the customers.
For sure. If you're just joining us, we are speaking to Carl Hammerschmidt, co-founder and CEO of Runway Sale. Do you use online shopping? Are you getting more comfortable with the idea of it? Do you use Runway Sale? Do you care more about the brands than the value? Let us know what your experience has been. And what you'd like to see from an online retailer going forward. 0725671567 is the number to WhatsApp. Welcome back to Upfront with Refilwe. We are having a fantastic discussion with Carl Hammerschmidt, who is the co-founder and CEO of Runway Sale, talking about online shopping. And I was curious to know whether or not you partake. We've got a WhatsApp here saying, love online shopping. Started doing it after the birth of my first child 6 years ago. I'm so out of touch with what's going on in malls that I had to consult the mall directory on a recent visit. That's quite a replacement. I mean, it's a big deal. And then somebody says, the opposite can also be true, but I cannot stress enough how online shopping saves me money. I can keep an eye on what things are really worth and make smarter decisions. Buying clothes online remains a gamble. I'm sure some companies are aware that it's just too much effort for us to return items sometimes.
Yeah.
Just count it towards profit. That's true. I mean, there are some companies where postage services are a little cheaper,
mm-hmm.
and you can believe in sort of the national postage service, like the States,
where,
you know, they just say, look, put it back in the box and send it back to us for free. But I think that's not something that's possible in the South African market.
Unfortunately not. When I was in Australia, I worked with quite a few e-commerce sites, and the unfortunate thing is a lot of them actually used to make profit off their postage service.
Wow.
Because the National Postage Service was so affordable that they could actually afford to charge a slight premium to that.
Right.
Whereas I don't think you would find a single e-commerce company in South Africa profiting off their delivery.
Definitely
something that everybody takes a loss. It's just how much of a loss you take. And then tries to work that into, obviously, getting back in other ways.
For sure. Now, you're the biggest retailer, I think, online retailer in SA.
So from a fashion perspective, we'll definitely be number two spot, I think.
And what do you feel is the – I know we were speaking earlier about how Superbalist has a different space, but what is the unique offering of Runway Sale?
So we focus on the value segment of the market. So our primary focus is about giving consumers value for money. And then everything we do builds around that. So if we're going to design a piece of tech, we make sure that it's to enable consumers to get better value for their money. If we're going to look at a new logistics service, it's about value for money. So that will be hands down the thing that we are the best in the space about.
Okay. So you're more of a tech company than a retailer?
Oh, 100%. I would consider us a tech and HR company far more than I would consider us a retailer.
I actually quite enjoy that. So out of interest, I'm sure you're aware of Jumia's listing.
Of course, yes.
On the NYSE, which is very similar to what you do. Just as I was saying to John Matham yesterday, you could possibly buy your mother on this. It's not just clothes. Are there any, so first of all, would you have any aspirations to becoming so big that you would list in even on the New York Stock Exchange?
Sure. So I think there's two different conversations here. One, we definitely would like to become so big. We've taken a slightly different approach, whereby we have focused on maintaining a sustainable and profitable business even as we grow. So I think that's always been important for us, and we've been lucky enough to be able to grow and maintain that. The second part of it is, why do you need to list in America rather than South Africa type thing? So at the point that we are big enough that we feel we want to list, we'll obviously evaluate the markets and see where the best place to list will be. But without a doubt, that is our trajectory. And I think anybody in our space who's not considering that is missing out on an opportunity.
For sure. And if you are more tech and logistics and HR than you are fashion retail, are there aspirations to expand beyond? I mean, is there a value market in electronics? Is there, which I believe there is, but would you consider expanding beyond?
Without a doubt. For us, it's simply a case of where we're going to put our time and energy and see the best return on that. There are one or two guys who operate in the tech space and the discount tech space. So if we want to go in there, we would have to be going in with quite a strong degree of confidence that we could own it. Otherwise, we would rather just focus on completely owning our space. Yes, definitely the option is there, and it's something we debate heavily on a quarterly basis.
That's great.
But at this point, there's no immediate plans in the next 3 months or so.
Your co-founder is your wife, you mentioned.
It is, yes.
Talk to me about how you balance business towards personal conversation. Do the corporate accounts make their way into dinner table conversation? You can't avoid it, right?
They do, yes. It's a question we get asked quite a bit. It is the biggest blessing and the most difficult thing we've done at the same time.
Right.
And I would caution anybody who wants to go down that route, but also if you can make it work, it's going to add more value than you could ever achieve, because you've got somebody who inevitably you completely trust and completely trust you. And when it comes to business, it means you can make very fast decisions. Over the years, we've learned a few ways to manage that. One of them being, on the way home, we've got a certain point in the road where we're not allowed to talk work past.
Oh,
and in
I
the
like
morning,
that.
We're not allowed to talk work until then. And every now and then you break that rule. But for the most part, we found kind of peace and comfort in that process.
That's really cool. Ideal partners, actually. That's a great way to approach it.
Yeah.
I'm curious, on the discussion of expansion, regional. You're currently across South Africa, Jumia, which we were just speaking about, ships to 14 countries in Africa.
Sure.
Do you have any interest across the continent or further, back to Australia even?
So, our focus, I think, will be Africa. I don't think that we would look to go to Australia or to Europe. There are established players in those markets. And anything you do, you want to make sure that you've got an edge. I think within the African market, between the experience and the relationships that we've built up, we've got an edge. And so we'd want to leverage off that. Expansion to Africa is definitely on our cards, and it'll be something that you'll see in the medium future.
Okay, fabulous. I mean, you're not listed, so I can't demand that you tell me which countries you're going to go to. But that's very interesting. I mean, particularly from the perspective of just GDP per capita across the continent is not necessarily it doesn't show up in the numbers on aggregate.
Yeah.
But also the lack of development in those countries means there is a little bit of a desperation for something that I can get with ease.
100%.
And if you can figure out the logistics, which is usually the biggest cost for distributors and retailers across the continent, then...
Without a doubt. Look, I think regardless of the fact that Jumia is more general merchandise, although their local arm is fashion-focused, they have had quite an aggressive approach to experimenting in markets, right?
Right.
The benefit for ourselves and for a lot of other companies is that you can look at what works and then focus on that. So it's a bit of a more affordable expansion,
right,
if you will.
Rather than sort of throwing something at the wall and seeing if it sticks. Yeah.
100%. So there will be a couple of key countries that we focus on and hopefully be able to maintain our profitability through that expansion.
Fantastic. Just from a commerce or tech perspective, what is M-commerce?
mobile commerce.
Aha, so it's the next level of the okay.
Sure. I mean, to be fair, e-commerce is mobile commerce and desktop, but the one thing that you'll find no shortage of in the online and e-commerce industries is acronym and buzzwords.
Right.
So m-commerce is just basically saying shopping. It talks to the transition of people 5 years ago doing 90% of their transactions on a desktop or laptop, and that moving over to a mobile device.
Instagram has got this thing that's about to destroy me. Mm-hmm. So it's as if it isn't enough that you end up in a vortex of explore.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, retailers are able to tag prices on their pictures that they post on their Instagram line.
Yeah.
But now when you click through, there's a new sort of sub-app called Checkout.
Sure.
So you don't actually get redirected to, say, Runway Sales website. I can literally, and I imagine over time, I can load up my credit card information onto Instagram itself.
Sure.
And when I click on it, I can literally just check out while I'm looking at somebody's story.
Yeah.
Is that something that you might consider? And I want to ask two different ways. Would you consider it as a great extension of your brand, or is it an imminent threat?
So I'm going to be honest, I'm not the most up to date with Pinterest shopping. I do know it's happening, and our marketing team is experimenting with it. So I don't want to come across as an expert there, but I can talk generally to what you're referring to, because quite a few social media platforms have tried to build shopping into their platform. The simple truth is there's benefits and cons to any of these things. In our experience, we found that consumers don't like shopping 100% on their social media platforms, and it might benefit to a certain extent, but it never really seems to have taken off around the world. So we don't see it as a major focus point for us or threat. That being said, there is a huge benefit to the power of social media. So, you know, we're not running away from it. We're just trying to find out where it fits into our business. And fundamentally for us, our approach at this point is to engage with the customer on our platform, where we can offer a certain level of consistency, certain level of experience. We can make sure that all the follow-up is properly recorded, which would be quite difficult to transition to another platform. But that's as much as I could say about that.
Can you give me just a soundbite or a thought that would be a bit of advice for the average entrepreneur?
That's a very good question. I think, number one, you've got to go in with very open eyes. It's so funny. When we first started the business, we were so nervous to tell anybody about the idea because we were convinced 100 people would run off with it. And I look back now and I realize the idea is less than 1% of the business. The execution is 99%. So surround yourself with people who can help you to execute. And don't be afraid to take a bit of a leap of faith. The thing that motivated me very heavily in the beginning was my wife and I had a conversation where we both had great jobs, and we said, well, what's the worst that can happen? And so after kind of looking at that and saying, worst case, we still got a roof over our head, somebody will take us in, we said, let's give it a shot. And that really helped us to get over the line.
A partner you can trust also helps, clearly, as you mentioned. Carl Hammerschmidt, co-founder and CEO of Runway Sale, thank you for the time, the insight and the advice, and for joining us here in studio.
Perfect. Thank you very much for having me.